perfect political currency shouldn't stand as a patriotic call. All the vitriol and hyperbole testifies to vacant humanity and the rabble that is pounding at the door. Don't know what they're standing for. Humanistic progress that we made, or the blood that spilled for someone else's profit but would never be repaid. There's a useless hope of the afterlife, but it can dissuade all the toil and strife and the pious who will promise so much more. Don't know what they're standing for anymore. Show some understanding for
beautiful people, and thank you for tuning in and welcome back to the podcast. I've been missing for quite some time now because I've been feeling quite down, to be honest, struggling a lot to get along with modern life and the twists and turns that it has taken in recent times. But one thing that always lifts me is that opening band, that opening song there, What Are We Standing For, by the magnificent Bad Religion, released as a single in 2020 during the pandemic lockdown. And I think there's something about those simple songs that Bad Religion release in single form. They bring out a sound that just really appeals to me. You can hear in that song, for me, you hear the full quality of Greg Graffin's grainy vocal style, and you hear, and of course the lyrics, as always, are just social commentary and political commentary at their finest. Supremely intelligent, melodic, wonderful, Bad Religion in a nutshell, I suppose you could say. And I'll try to play you some more songs if this continues from those different times throughout the existence of Bad Religion, where they released one or two songs that were just recorded in Greg Graffin's home studio in Ithaca, New York. And they definitely have a different sound. For me, there's a lower guitar noise, which I like. It's a more simple sound. I find that some of the albums have got too much guitar work and they're too heavy on the guitar. And of course, you know, I'm more of a lyrical, vocal person rather than guitars or drums or anything else that it may be.
I see a million walk the city mile. ticker tape king and a juvenile. Will anybody tell me which way to go? Will anybody come back on the CB radio? I'm counting the stars and the telegraph poles, and each one represents the hopes of a soul. You'd think that God wouldn't be so hard when you see all the little children running, running in the backyard on a Mississippi goose with a sub-Saharan song. Somebody is wailing in the financial district, son. Can anybody feel the distance to the Nile? I wanna live and I wanna dance a while. Gonna make like getting on my rockabilly train. Gonna beat out the blues on my ball and chain. You can't pull a hold of gun. There's people living now ain't got no heart and ain't never had none. Down on the border they crawl all the way to get a clip of living with a clean all spray. Can anybody feel the distance to the night?
That is the magnificent X-Ray Style from the album Rock Art and the X-Ray Style, released in 1999 by Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. That was their first album, and for me a real refinding of Joe Strummer. You know, he really found himself with the Mescaleros. I felt that it was the closest that we'd come to anything that he produced with The Clash. Really wonderful albums that they released. Their final one that was released, was an album called Streetcore, was released 1 year after Joe Strummer passed away. And it was finished recording. The vocals had mostly been recorded, of course, before his death. But the album was mixed and put together and produced after his death. So definitely get out there and listen to some Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. Buy some albums if you can. It's a fantastic reinvention of Joe Strummer, if you like. And of course, Joe Strummer, another one of my idols, along with Greg Raffin and Bad Religion. Another one of those people, even though no longer with us, keeps me positive and alive and keeps me optimistic and hopeful. You know, I realize that people have been through things many, many, many times over, and we felt that dire consequences have been on the horizon many, many times in the past. We've been through bad cycles in the past, and you know, I've studied literature and I've read literature centuries old, and there have always been fears and doubts and uncertainties. And even when I think of some of my favorite books, like Dracula and Frankenstein, written in the 1890s. And of course, back in the 1890s, you couldn't just write a book and say, I hate what my government is doing, I hate what society is doing. So you had to create some kind of abstract metaphor for what was happening to try and express it. And therefore, we had Dracula and we had Frankenstein. And these were reactions to things like the industrialization that was starting to take place. And in the 1890s in particular, where railroads were being built across the UK and Europe and so on, and there was a real fear that that nature itself was being destroyed, that the countries were being destroyed, that mankind was being destroyed in favor of this technological monster that was coming into play, the railroads. And if you think of it, it's not too different today. You know, today we have artificial intelligence that is terrifying everybody, and we have governments that people are terrified of and disagree with. And in the end, when I think of all the history of literature and punk rock that I've read and listened to over the years, we're not in too dissimilar a situation today to what those people have been through. I mean, if you think of what the Dead Kennedys and were singing about in the 80s, and bands like Crass and Conflict and The Clash were singing about in the late 70s, you know, it's been going on and on and on. Admittedly, we've never quite seen leader who acts as unprofessionally as the one that we currently have in the US. And I think that's one thing that probably terrifies people more than anything else. You know, we've had radical ideas in the past. We've had fascist dictators and so on, and everything. We've been through everything that you can imagine. Of course, there are people who are strongly against the left-wing liberal view as well. But in all of the leaders that we've had outside of dictator countries where there's not really any law or order, we've not really seen someone who just behaves in a way that you wouldn't expect. You wouldn't expect a manager or a director or a president of a company, and certainly not the president of a country, to behave that way. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want to drag myself down, and I don't want to cause any hatred, and I just want to try to focus on finding some positivity and listening to some beautiful music and going on from there into the weekend like a calm spring breeze as the trees start to blossom here in sunny Dallas.
Are in mourning, hallucinating.
emotions and drug-induced visions ending collision, casualties again. Yeah, we're vow pacifist, former conservationist. Once we were here to be sane, now everyone's insane. We're not in love, we're not in love anymore. Now we're just passing through the door. No one here wants more. We're not in love, we're not in love anymore. Somewhere we passed out on the floor, getting where and what we've seen was saving. Three in the morning, I begin to mourn the sovereign. It's about a mile long. I used to know that tune, I used to play it for you. But we're not in love, we're not in love anymore. No longer running through the door. No one here wants more.
The deeply emotional and beautiful We're Not In Love Anymore by Joey Cape from his 2008 album Bridge. One of the songs that always really makes me sit back and reflect. I love that song. I've loved that song since it was released in 2008. I love that album, Bridge. And yeah, I suppose it's a time, as I said, of reflection, and it's a time when I know that I have many friends who are sick and suffering and, you know, just forgetting about everything else that's going on in life and wishing that they had their health, and hopefully they can get back to health soon and be back amongst us and have some fun and get back to the things that they enjoy doing. And we have friends, I have friends with broken hearts and going through difficult times and struggles, you know, part of life, but never, never easy. And the worst thing that I can complain about, I suppose, is my insomnia. I struggle a lot with insomnia and deep thoughts in the middle of the night. I suppose many, many of us do suffer that, and for me, I try to cope with it by turning to creative outlets, such as trying to make more of my YouTube channel these days. I'm trying to publish some videos about books and technology and just little travel snippets or whatever it may be, just something to, just a creative outlet to talk about some of the great books that I've read and some of the things that I think of and have gone through and suffered, and hopefully they can be of help to someone somewhere out there. And, you know, I've been through divorce many, many, many years ago, and I've been through many breakups, heartbreaks. And in the end today, I find myself content, single, happy. I don't wish to change my singledom because I just simply want to keep my life as simple as possible and not get into any more complex, complicated situations. But of course, there are times that it can become lonely. And there are times when we feel like the world is crumbling around us and that everyone is believing, following something that we don't. And that could be anything from politics to work-life balance and the way of working. And to this day, I still remain deeply in favor of things like remote work and flexibility. And as much as I love walking along into the office and I love going in and meeting people and saying hello and chatting to them and, you know, working from my desk for a few hours and chatting to people, I love to go to the cafeteria in our office that's run by a really cool, cute Korean couple, an elderly-ish Korean couple, and I love to go in and support them by buying some. I love to buy a vegetarian sub or the broccoli soup and just do a little bit to support them. But after a few hours, I get bored, I get tired, the noise stresses me out. People walking around constantly back and forth, trying to look busy, banging doors, and half of them looking so depressed and wondering why they're there and what they're doing and wanting to be at home instead. And yeah, so eventually I just pack up my stuff and I quietly leave and I walk back home. And here at home, I have a perfectly beautiful workspace. I have two monitors. I actually have three monitors, but the third one is a separate workspace in case I have friends or anything who want to work, or if I need to test a different operating system or something, I'll jump over there and hook up my device and play on that. But I really have the idyllic workspace here. I have a beautiful little Creative Labs sound system with a subwoofer under the desk so I can listen to music when I'm not in calls, when I'm not in meetings, I'm working and writing emails and answering chats and editing articles and so on, and I'm doing all of that listening to music and wearing my comfortable shorts, my flip-flops, my t-shirt. No one's judging me, no one's coming over and having a frantic panic about something they can't do. And I just struggle to understand why today in 2025 we still have this 9-to-5, 40-hour week drudgery. And most people that I see, and this extends beyond my local scene, of course, I work globally. I see it happening in France, the UK, Spain. People are working from 8 o'clock in the morning until 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. And they're often just sitting in the office for all of that time. And I just find it very depressing.
Alone and distanced, torn apart, breathless like you where you stand. It's a suspicious, convenient loss. Seems you've nothing here to say. Never heard me that way.
the beautiful voice of John Snodgrass, and that's from a song called Alone and Distanced. 2009 release with Corey Brannan. And again, John Snodgrass, look him up on Google or whatever browsing, whatever search engine you use, and go and find some of his stuff. Absolutely fantastic musician. His voice is mesmerizing. Someone who I'd never heard of until I went to a Tony Sly, Joey Cape concert in London one night with my best friend Colin. And we were looking at the itinerary or whatever it is, the set list or the... Yeah, I can't think what it's called anyway, but we noticed it was Joey Cape, Tony Sly and John Snodgrass, and we had no idea who John Snodgrass was. But anyway, when we heard him and we saw him, we loved him, and the three of them played solo sets, but then the three of them played together, and later that trio became the Scorpios, with one additional member of the band. And you should definitely, they only released one album, The Scorpios, before Tony Sly passed away, but that is a great album too. Almost like a acoustic punk rock Wu-Tang Clan, if you like, because it's a mixture of these great artists all singing their own individual songs, but then with each of them providing the melodic harmonies in the songs. It's just really a fantastic album that you should definitely check out. And with that being said, I'm going to end off this podcast with a song from Lagwagon, who are fronted by Joey Cape, doing a cover version of a Tony Sly song, and it was released on the tribute album that was released to raise funds for Tony Sly's family a year after Tony Sly passed away. The album is called The Songs of Tony Sly, a tribute, and one of my favourite Tony Sly songs, Discomfort Inn, although the original version by Tony Sly is a very slow and very sombre format. This one is a typical Lagwagon high-speed punk rock song, but it's a great song anyway, so I'll finish off with this song.
A poor man with a rich man's habit is a dead man. Like a gun is nothing till it's someone's hand. A funeral is a body without a corpse. And a wedding is two strangers, then divorce. I need a smaller pen so I can write. Because the devil has my idle hands within his sides. And I just wanna say something true. It's a lie that you love me too. About the years, my two daughters and my right hand that wipes the tears. Not from God's hand, I let the sunlight shine through all the darkness that ends with you.
Thank you for joining, everyone. Thank you for being patient. And if you want to, go out and check my YouTube channel, The Only Book to Write. You'll find it on YouTube. If you want to hear a little bit about Charles Bukowski or John K. Samson or Sylvia Plath or Vita Sackville-West or maybe even a bit of artificial intelligence, it's all on there. You can follow me, subscribe, like it, send me a comment, send me some love, see my happy smiling face. Anyway, until next time, take care.